Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. People living with dementia can appear to live in their own world, a complicated, non-linear inner world not so easily communicated to or understood by others. There are few tools to help ease the isolation experienced by many with the syndrome. The London-based writer Susanna Howard is attempting to give people with dementia a voice, visiting them and recording their words as poetry.
Comments on language and words. Sometimes you don't feel on top of the world. You think, I wish something like this or that happened, I could remember better. The whole life is a mystery. We can assume what we can assume will happen to us, but we can't force it to happen. Every year that you are growing up puts different words into your mind. We are changing for the worse or the better. Sometimes you don't feel on top. The point is, when you are talking about one thing, your mind is going in different directions. Yes, sometimes in conversation you use words that weren't intentional, but they fit. We got to be a gold mine practically of words, can stir something else up. Think, wish, remember.
Susanna is artistic director of Living Words. It's an arts and literature program helping people with dementia feel understood and heard, even when communication may seem lost. Susanna, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Lovely. It's fantastic to talk to you.
How did you get the idea for Living Words?
Well, I went through a personal experience of really losing myself, actually, and was going through a lot of internal pain and conflict and didn't want to sort of seek any sort of medical help for this. And so I sat and I did have some time, which was a real privilege, and I had paper and pen and I just wrote and I wrote and was just sort of getting everything out of me. And through that process, I was able to begin to find myself again. And then I thought, well, this gives an opportunity here in working with other people. And I found out that there were arts organisations that were linked to hospitals that would support perhaps this kind of work. So I pitched this idea and they said to me, we like your intention, but we only have money for the elderly care unit and for people with dementia. I said, okay. And it suddenly started, things started to click together. I just came out just knowing that this was the right path for me. That first placement, there was a woman there who I worked with, and she really taught me a lot, and she had advanced dementia. And when we finished working together, she looked into my eyes and she said, now you know two worlds. The one outside and the one inside in me, and you've got to go and tell all the people. I've held that and kept that as my mission.
Well, I'd love you to talk to us a little bit more about that process of assembling poems for a patient. First of all, you find them mostly in care homes or caregiving situations there in the UK. Is there much editing or input, or you just talk to them and you just record exactly as it is?
Well, it's a real technique that I've developed over the time. We work one-on-one with residents, and we sit. Really important part of the process is being able to sit in silence and just be together. And we use eye contact, connecting through the eyes. And really, I like people who do the work to be able to have their own meditation practice, because that can quiet the noise that we can sometimes have in our head. And let me tell you, people with Alzheimer's and dementia know if you're not focusing on them and know if there's something going on or if you're palming them off. So we just sit together, and sometimes we sit for a long time in silence. I have my paper and pen, or whoever's doing it has their paper and pen, and that's really a bridge between us. When they speak, the person sees me writing their words down, and it's sort of an act that happens between us. And I have the recorder as well, and the recorder is just there so that we can go back and check that everything is correct, because we don't want to be putting words in people's mouths. So we write the words down, and then we edit it by taking things out, but we don't change the meaning or the way they came together. We might put themes together, perhaps. Sometimes you can think, gosh, if there was an extra word here that they hadn't said, this would really be profound, or really, you know, this would clearly get what they're saying across. But we don't never do that.
Let's hear just a little bit more of some of the work of Living Words, a collaboration between Susanna Howard, who we're speaking to today, and a number of different patients with dementia.
Number 65. This chair, it's so dirty feeling. I'm not in running order. Where do you go to when you go out? I keep out of walking mode with the mainframe in the convoy. Don't go around much. I wish I could drive in a big car. Drive away in a car. I wish I could fly, just fly right away to number 65. Not drifting along at nothing.
You are releasing these poems, you know, to the world as creative works. And I suppose, you know, poetry is not required to make sense in the same way that we expect from prose. I mean, what is it about poetry and creative writing that helps people with dementia, do you think?
Well, I think perhaps there's another angle of coming at it. There's a lot of people that I'm working with are more advanced in their dementia, with their experience of dementia, which is that their experience in their brain and their mind is an expression that is used a lot, is that you're moving from your head to your heart. In terms of the brain, you're sort of moving from your left side to your right side more. There's more free space there because we live in a society where we're made to sort of organise and be logistical a lot of the time. And so I feel that the words that need to be said just come up, and they may happen to be metaphorical. Someone may be searching for something and they say an alternate word, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. It means that it perfectly describes what they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what it's like for you. I mean, you're hearing people describe, in some cases, feeling locked in, feeling kind of isolated by their condition. Is it difficult to hear that kind of pain that must come across in some of these poems?
I wouldn't say it's difficult for me. How I feel about it is I feel when I'm with the person that it's enriching them and me for them to be able to say it and for it to be heard. And what is more alive than that? That sharing of what existence feels like for each of us, whether we have dementia or not.
Do you see changes or improvement in patients after working with them?
Yes, you can. And I think we need to be able to communicate with each other. And I think that sometimes for the care industry, it's not the best thing to have lots of people who have dementia being able to express themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the line there?
It's a line between money and, you know, what is right for people. But it's going to cost more, you could say. That's the thinking. But the reality is that talking and communicating and not feeling that sense of isolation, that feeling utterly, utterly depressed. If I was to stay in some care homes that I've worked in, I'm sure within a month I would certainly be clinically depressed and I would be displaying the signs of dementia. The reality is it's a lot cheaper to have people doing arts work than it is for them to be taking pills, but, you know, the arts and the medical, the pharmaceutical companies, there's always one that's richer.
Well, is it? I mean, is it cheaper? I mean, what we understand is that people sort of get warehoused and maybe taking antidepressant drugs is easier and cheaper than this kind of work. So what is your argument that it's actually cheaper to do the creative work?
Yes, I mean, I can't talk money or anything like that, but it's something that in this country is being talked about a lot. Because you're not just looking at the medicine, what you're looking at is if someone's engaged and feeling not so isolated, then they're not going to have as many falls necessarily. They're not going to have as many admissions into hospitals.
How do the people that you work with react when you read their poems back to them?
Well, with Living Words, what we do is we have the poems put into books for every individual. They have their Living Words books. Even if they've just said one word over all our time together, they have their book. And then that book is a bridge between the carer and their relative and the person, because we really don't want the work to just be a flying in and flying out. We want to help people be continuing their communication. We work with staff on that. But how do people react when I read their words back to them? They say, yes, yes. Some people shout out. Some people are saying the words along. Some people take a long time to respond. Then they say, oh, there's a man I worked with who took 10 minutes to respond every time. And his words after I'd read his poem out was, It's a call to arms, like positive action. And a woman most recently said to me, and you don't want to overstate things, but she said, "You doing this, writing my words and reading them back to me, it's like medicine for me."
Well, a big yes and thanks to you for joining us, Susanna.
Thank you.
Susanna Howard, London-based writer, artistic director of Living Words. She takes the words of people living with dementia and turns them into poetry. You can read some of them at wordofmouthradio.org and learn more about Living Words there.